Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On today's Something Major, we will be recapping round two results, talking a good bit about the American guys out there. We got five into the third round. And then also with that, we'll be previewing round three, a few predictions, what we kind of see maybe happening and unfolding there. But yeah, with that, let's get into it.
Welcome back to Something Major with Stevie Johnson, Jack Sock, Sam Querrey. This is what we're going to be doing every other day throughout the Australian Open. Just as we did a couple days ago, we recapped the round one results. We are going to today recap round two results. Most of the players are through to round three. There's still one match going. Is that correct? And what time is it in Melbourne? Does anyone know?
Yeah, it's at 2:15 a.m.
Okay, and it's Medvedev in a fifth set against the lefty, Stevie, USC Trojan, Lerner Tien. I think I pronounced that right.
Yep.
We're horrible with pronunciations. So, Stevie, just open this up real quick. Tell us a little bit about Lerner, for the players that don't know him too well. Where is he from? What do you think of his game?
Yeah, Lerner's is a Southern California kid who, like Sam mentioned a couple of days ago, we've been hitting with him for a long, long time. Super talented lefty, you know, kind of quiet, kind of, I mean, you know, it's tough when you're 15, 16 years old on the practice court to really maybe show a lot of personality when you're out there with some of the pros. But the kid is an awesome tennis player. I would say in the last, you know, 16, 18 months has really come into his own. In the summer of 2024, I mean, he won future after future after future, then won challenger and then another challenger, and has just been kind of steadily on the rise. You know, he's a lefty with a really, really good game. He's not physically imposing. He's not, you know, going to be overly confident or, you know, boisterous out there, you know, in how he acts. But he's a very, very good tennis player. And he's showing it right now against Medvedev deep into a fifth set here. So I think Medvedev kind of will sneak through this in the end just based on experience. But a very good showing for Lerner, a great learning opportunity, and hopefully he can get a win. But I just think Medvedev will kind of sneak this one out just based on experience.
Lerner finaled the next gen in Saudi at the end of the year and lost to my new favorite player, Joao Fonseca. But yeah, Lerner's a baller.
Four all in the fifth right now, actually.
Four all in the fifth. Right, you know, we're so good with predictions. Lerner's probably going to win 6-4 in the fifth here.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
so we actually had some like very positive feedback on our first Something Major, what we're calling it, episode on YouTube and Instagram, and we had some people try to tell us how to correctly pronounce Joao in the comments. I still don't understand. Someone wrote in, and it made absolutely zero sense. He was talking about using the OO, and did you guys see that comment?
Yeah.
OO and Zoom, and does anyone know? I think it's Joao. Is that it? Joao?
I think the first O is supposed to be kind of like a U. I think it's Joao. I think it's like Joao.
Joao. Okay.
But is the last name Fonseca or Fonseca?
Yep.
Jack's the pronunciation king here. You got it right. Joao.
You know what? I think the first O we need to replace with a U and then just go from there. Last name, I have no idea. Could be.
We'll get it right eventually.
You guys not going to give me any credit for my correct take on the Tommy Paul K match?
Oh, that actually was you said that you could see K winning a tight first. You literally called it to a T, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
K winning a tight first set.
Send that clip out, Charlie.
All right, let's move on to the draw. Let's keep it on the men's side. Obviously, we just talked about Medvedev is the 5 seed. He could be out. He's in danger right now. It's happening as we speak. What do we think of the seeds so far on the men's side? Obviously, there always are going to be some upsets. What do we think about the top players that are still in it? We actually touched on this a couple weeks ago, or two weeks, or a week ago, excuse me, we talked about top eight seeds that were in danger. And I think we hit the nail on the head on that one. We thought Casper was in danger, maybe going out early. He lost in the second round to Mincik. But let's go over the seeds on the men's side and how you guys feel this draw will shape up going forward. I'll start with you, Jack.
Yeah, I think the Casper isn't the craziest call maybe ever. Some fast hard courts. Obviously, Mensik is a baller, and he doesn't seem too crazy. I mean, not a top seed, but Felix going out. But obviously, Davidovich Fokina is a just very, very good player. My pick with Zverev is looking pretty good. Kind of feel like he's getting through easy. T Fritzy also winning very easy. Hubie going out in straights. I'm not sure if there's something wrong. It seems a little too straightforward for him to just kind of get routine like that.
Like absolutely routine.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, a 4-4-2 was not.
He had a medical timeout, so he could have been injured.
Okay, yeah, that makes a little bit more sense. But, yeah, seems like, Sinner losing a set, not a big deal, and then losing, eight games after that, the next three. So, I think the top guys look great. Casper wasn't the biggest surprise. Obviously, this going on right here could be pretty crazy if this learning experience that Lerner is going through.
Lerner was up a break early in this fifth set.
Yeah, 3-1.
Yeah.
I mean, what are these guys just losing their breaks? Just get a break and close it out. It's easy.
Right?
Yeah.
So much harder when you have to hit groundies after to try to hold.
I know. Sam, I want to throw it to you. Like Taylor Fritz, we know he's kind of entered a different air for him here, like sort of rarefied air. He's the top four seed. He's got his own quarter of the draw is dedicated to him being the favorite to make the semifinals. I personally think he's going to make the semifinals. He's had a pretty good draw, but it doesn't really matter. He's playing so well. He's absolutely crushing these people. He's probably been on the court for 3 hours over two matches. I mean, Taylor's gotten to the point in my mind where it's going to take a special effort from someone to beat him. And that's just how good he's gotten.
You can maybe make the argument that Taylor is playing better than anyone since he's gotten to Australia. They won the United Cup. He's just absolutely dominated through two rounds of the Australian Open. The dude's on a mission. Nothing is phasing him. I agree with you, John. I think he's going to make the semis. And then once you're in the semis, who knows? He could just do the other top 1, 2, 3 seeds make it to the semis? Do they get knocked out? But Taylor is a man on a mission and looks good right now. I like what I'm seeing from him.
I mean, losing 8 games in 2 rounds is kind of crazy in a slam.
Has that ever been done?
That's probably been done a few times by a couple guys.
Rafa probably won the French losing 8 games a few times.
No, but I think, being with, not with Taylor, but just being out in LA where he was practicing for a few days in the offseason with Mikey Russell and Paul Anacone, it feels as if he is working his his mental state or his tennis game, strictly to beat the top guys when he's not at his best, which is the key, right? We can all win matches when we play really well. And I don't even think in a good way, he even sees the first few rounds anymore, which is great for him. He kind of feels like he's going to get beyond those. The confidence is so high. And then, he's working on trying to beat the Sinners, Alcarazes, Novaks of the world, Zverevs, when he's not at his best. And I think that is something that, is very important for him because that's what it's going to boil down to. He's uber confident. We all know that in his abilities in the first couple rounds. So hopefully he can just continue that on and get to the later stages of this tournament because he is playing insane right now.
So obviously he's not going to just roll through the tournament. We know that. He's only lost 8 games through 2 matches. Do you guys think he would benefit more if he had in his first rounds, maybe some tougher tests around there, maybe a tiebreak or two, maybe a lost set or two, or you guys think he's perfectly set where he is right now?
I think he's perfectly happy. Just rolling through this, get through, unscathed, healthy, less time on court, be fresh at the middle to end of these tournaments. I don't think he needs to play tough matches. I think the confidence is extremely high regardless of, a 6-1 set or a 7-6 set. I don't think he needs a tough one out to get any more confidence.
I've noticed that he looks does he not look like way physically stronger?
No, he's bigger. He's a lot bigger.
But like he doesn't have time. He's playing all the time. And I don't know. It's like, we know how hard he works, but it doesn't seem like he's had that much, been able to spend that much time in the gym, but he obviously has. He seems physically really strong, strong as I've ever seen him.
Those preseason gains.
Yeah. Let's keep it on the American side. Tommy Paul advanced, as we know. And we spoke about the potential Fonseca-Tiafoe match. We tried to predict what would happen with those two guys facing off in the third round, and they both lost. So
that's biggest letdown ever.
Yeah. So Marozan from Hungary beat Tiafoe in 5 sets, and Sonego beat Joao in 5
sets. You want to predict the Marozan?
I don't want to predict that match. I just want to talk about how I think we totally put the hex on both of those players. So maybe we should what do you guys think about that?
I think that was Sam.
They probably listened to the episode 2 days ago. And had penciled themselves into the third round. They're like, yeah, this is going to be great. Crowd's going to love it. We're both very popular players. And then when I woke up this morning and checked the results, because João Fonseca played late in Australia, so I was in sleep. Yeah. I was devastated for like 30 seconds that he lost.
Did you cry?
Legit my favorite player in tennis. And I didn't cry, but it ruined my morning for like 30 seconds.
Francis had a bunch of chances in the fourth too to like break and then go, then have to hold like once or twice to win the match. And
0 for 10 on break points in the fourth set.
It's not a good stat.
Yeah, he had a lot of chances. That was So when I saw the result too, I was pretty surprised.
He went 6-1 in the fifth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. He wasn't feeling well.
Opelka lost a tough 5-setter as well to
Good point.
Machock. Also, how short are Machock's shorts?
Try playing against that in Houston at night on that wet clay. It's
intimidating. Like extra small. Like what? And he rolls them up.
No, he probably wears a medium or a large. He just rolls them up like a women's basketball player.
Yeah.
It's brutal to watch that.
Tommy Paul's got short shorts too. He looks like John Stockton out there.
He's got 4-inch inseams going on.
That's good. He does. Him and Jeff Hornacek from the Utah Jazz. Like Tommy's got him, but that's on purpose. He's not hiking him up. He's just showing off the leg because he's got nice legs. All right, let's go. Keep it on the men's side. Dark horses. All right, we're into the round of 32 almost. Dark horses. Some players. Lesser known players that you think can win their next match, get to the round of 16, and maybe even beyond into the quarterfinals. Let's leave the big names out. Are there any lesser known players that we think can keep moving on? Sam, we'll start with you.
Hold on, I'm looking at the draw now. I like Shelton's draw. He plays Musetti next, and then after that, I'm not sure, but I like Shelton right now. And then I'm always a fan of Kecmenovic. I know he beat Hubie, who might have been injured, but I think Kecmenovic is really good every time I watch him play. He might not have the results and be a top 15, top 20 guy, but Kecmenovic, I will not be surprised if, again, I don't know the exact draw. I don't have it in front of me, but
if Kecmenovic wins, he plays center or Giron. So.
Okay, so Kecmenovic can win one more match and then lose. But having said that, I think Kecmenovic is really good.
Yeah. What about Mikkelsen? Who does Alex play?
He plays Kachanov to play Demon Hour Cerundolo.
Okay, what do we think about Mikkelsen versus Karin Kachanov in the third round?
I think for sure Alex, cheering for Kachanov.
No, I'm not sure. Absolutely not. I think
Isner
really
likes Kachanov the way Stevie likes Nishikori.
It's true.
Isner loves a Karin.
I'm definitely not. It's my mom's name. Yep. I'm definitely not.
That's why I said it.
Cheering for him. I'm cheering for Alex. Do we think Alex can win that match in round 3?
Yeah, I think so. I think he has a good chance because he plays, he can play a more of an awkward style of game. And Kachanov, is a bully in the middle of the court. He hits the crap out of the ball off both sides, forehands and backhands. And I think Alex will be able to kind of, in lack of a better terms, maybe gross it up a little bit with some slices, some angles, just some goofy athletic points. So if the serve is on for Alex and he can return well like he did in round 1, and I'm guessing round 2 as well, he is I think he's going to have a good chance in that one, just if he can kind of gross it up a little bit.
I think Alex can win that match. I'll be interested to see what the odds are for that one. I think Alex might even be a slight favorite there. So that'll be one to watch. Good effort from Marcos Giron as well. We think it's going to end in the third round.
Heck, down 4-2 in the fifth, if I'm not mistaken, and pulls it out in five.
Do you know Marcus Giron and I went to the same high school?
Really?
Nope. We did. I did know that. Yeah.
Thousand Oaks Prep.
Thousand Oaks High School. Name another high school in America that has had two players reach the top 50 in the world in tennis. You can't.
Well, the Boca
MG
prep
doesn't
thing,
count. No,
that doesn't count. You're right. It doesn't count.
It's just
right.
Like a normal right. High school in America, both played high school tennis.
Did he play high school tennis?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. We'll have to do some research on that one, Sam, but I would say probably not.
We also had Claire Liu. Claire Liu went to our high school. I'm getting sidetracked, but like she's also like.
Wow, this is just like a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Let's go back to our snake draft picks really quick. It seems that one of us is in dire straits. And that one is Sam, because his 11. What are you talking about?
I have Djokovic left.
You have Djokovic left. Everyone else has two players left. You not lost.
Everyone else not has me. Two players left.
Not me. I have one player left.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Do some prep. Another factually incorrect statement. Hubie. On the pod.
Excuse
Hubie
me.
Hubie went all down. Right. Yeah.
Okay. My bad. I think both you guys are so. Jack and I are sitting pretty nice. I think. I don't know. Okay.
John's got like some weird voodoo magic on his side. Lehechka has had three walkovers in like six matches this year.
Yeah, he had two walkovers in Brisbane, and he had a walkover in the second round.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's clean living. I don't know. I like, and he's got a good draw. You guys said, who does Lehechka play?
He does actually. I just saw it. He plays Benjamin or Bonzi.
Okay, Bonzi in the third round, and I have the defending champ, number one player in the world. I mean,
he lost the set. Center lost the set.
I'm not going to trade positions with anyone. I guess it's just a race to the bottom with Stevie and Sam. Jack, who do you think's going to finish DFL between Stevie and Sam? Let's just pencil us in at the top.
Well, I'm one ahead of him. I still got an extra win ahead of him. So
you do, but wait, it's all about
Stevie. Your last guy is Alcaraz.
Yeah,
come on, baby.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and predict that. Actually, no, I'm screwed on this because my two guys left are going to play each other in the quarters.
Ooh,
but then we'll get some more wins.
No, that's good for you.
We'll get some more wins. I switched it on the other side. Alcaraz, I don't think he's going to struggle too much with Borges next, so I feel good about that for you, Stevie. Don't think he's going to struggle. Yeah. Ooh, then do they play each other? You guys might have a Carlos versus Novak to finish DFL.
Oh, yes. That's the quarter.
Dude, that's what we're doing.
That's what it's going to come down to.
We should have something major watch party live commentate to see who finishes with whatever penalty on the line.
That's what it's going to come down to. We actually we polled our Instagram audience, right, just to come up with a punishment for who finishes DFL.
Yeah, did we get any good ones?
We got a good one here. This is _ Zoomy says loser has to play the $15,000 futures in Sherbrooke. Where is Sherbrooke? Sounds like California.
No, doesn't sound like California to me. I'm going to guess Florida.
Oh my gosh. That is horrendous.
That would be tough.
That's incredible.
No one has a ranking. Stevie used to have a ranking, right? You still have some points on the.
I think I got like 10 points still on the board, baby.
My favorite one is loser has to be replaced for an episode on the pod, but the loser has to find their replacement, and it's like a surprise to the other three.
Ooh,
kind of
like
smart
that, actually.
Oh, that's not.
That's not like really that. A penalty. That's actually like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know, and it's fun for everyone. Like, all right,
fun for everyone.
You lost, but you got to find your replacement. I don't know who it is.
Because let's be honest, no one's entering a futures in Sherbrooke. We don't even know where that is.
Yeah,
but that's a good one. That's a good one.
I think you should do that, and then 24 hours at Waffle House challenge.
No, that's
we don't even have Waffle House in California.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be tough.
I like that one.
Settle in on that. Let's do some round three predictions on the American side. So help me out here. We have Marcos Giron, Alex Mickelson, Tommy Paul, Taylor Fritz,
Shelton.
Benny Shelton could potentially play Taylor Fritz in the fourth round. That would be blockbuster. Am I missing anyone? That's five players in the third round. Who do we think, obviously none of them play each other in the third round. Do we think, how many of those five do you think can advance? I think the answer is four because Giron plays center, but do y'all agree with that?
I like Shelton winning over Musetti. I like Fritz winning. Tommy, who does Tommy play?
He plays Carbias Baena.
Yeah, I like Tommy in that. And I kind of like Mickelson over Khachanov. Yeah, I'm with you. I like all four of those guys advancing.
I have three.
Okay.
I have the obvious ones. Taylor, Tommy. Sorry, Marcos. Don't see him getting through center.
Not even in the sleeveless shirt?
Not even in the sleeveless. I think Alex will get through Kachanov, and I think Musetti gets through Ben in like a epic five-setter. I think it's going to be a really good one. Both those guys are – Musetti's a lot of fun to watch. He's a talented, talented tennis player. And I think he just – I think he gets him in five. I think that'll be a really – one of those like – I think that might be the only like special third round, you know, kind of knockdown, drag out one that we'll remember in a couple of days.
That's right. I am going to stir the pot here, but also believe I have two advancing. I got Fritz and Tommy Elny advancing. I agree. I think Musetti, I actually think it's going to be probably an epic match, and I see Musetti taking that. I think Kachanov is just going to veteran his way through Mickelson. And yeah, Giron, just we'll pray for you in that one.
We could, he'll be on Rod Laver Arena more than likely, so that'll be a nice showcase for Marcos.
Or is that like the third round they put the one seed on the on like Margaret Court?
They put Carlos on Margaret Court. I was like, ooh, that's kind of that's tough.
Yeah, but it's like they do with the French. Like, no, Rafa, I know. Plays some matches.
It's a little different
Longland.
The French. I feel like there's two like center courts at the French. Like, I don't know. I think it's a little. I feel like Carlos should be on center.
So I know we talked about the five American men left in the draw, but we knew that Lerner Tien was still going. He just won. He just beat Medvedev 10-7 in the fifth set tiebreaker. Incredible result after having match points, or a match point, excuse me, in the third set tiebreaker. Losing that, losing the fourth set, coming back, breaking at 5-6 down in the fifth set to win 10-7 in the fifth set tiebreaker. Incredible win. We now have six American men in the round of 32. That is a lot. I can't remember the last time we've had that many at the Aussie Open. He's just 19 years old. Incredible result from Tien. The next gen, I think, is coming in really strong. We've talked about Joao Fonseca, Tien, Mickelson, Mincic, who beat Kasperud in five sets. These guys are a force. Three of them are into the round of 32. So incredible result that we just witnessed with Tien over Medvedev. That's it for our round two recap, round three preview. We will be back on Saturday, United States time, to talk about the round three results and preview what's ahead at the Aussie Open. All right, so here's our trivia. We talked about how dominant Taylor has been through two rounds. He's lost just eight games. Very, very impressive. So here's a question. Aussie Open only, which were the only two players to have dropped less games than Taylor in his first two matches since 1988 at the Australian Open only?
I'm going to go Novak.
Okay.
And like Agassi. I think Agassi 1 year probably just like crushed two people early on.
I think I'm going to agree with the Novak thing, and then I'm trying to think of a second. I wanted to take like a home country, maybe Hewitt just destroyed two people, like broke somebody a lot, but I don't know.
I feel like Hewitt doesn't have the game to like beat guys.
I know.
I'm going to go Novak and Boris Becker, like way back in the day, played a couple like, you know, businessmen who shouldn't have been in the draw in the round of 128 and 64 back then.
I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm gonna go Rafa. I remember him beating a first round match like 0-0-1. I do remember that. I don't remember his second round result. So I'm gonna go Rafa and John Isner.
Oh my gosh.
Sometimes you lose eight games in a set.
Yeah, I know. I'll go Rafa and I think Sam said Agassi.
Nadal and Federer.
I should just be like the go-to answer for any trivia. You don't know who the answer is.
It should.
Wait, Nadal lost four games and Roger lost six? That's insane.
We didn't do that very often through two rounds.
Yeah, it must have been 2011. Rafa, he played this guy. His name was Daniel. You would remember him, Sam. Marcos Daniel. There it is. Boom.
Oh,
that's what I remember. And it was just such a mismatch.
Marcus Daniel, the Kiwi guy?
No, Marcos. Marcos Daniel from Brazil. All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning back in to Something Major. I really appreciate it. We will be back in 2 days' time. So until then, have a good one.